Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economic. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pools in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 0.035% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly. They can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, boy, who cares? March has never changed anything.
All right, time for another installment of It's My House. And the holiday is about to kick in here. 4th of July, which is it's a birthday for us because this is when 3 years ago, we bought our first 4 acres. Bought our first 4 acres 3 years ago. All right, now, and we got a challenge today. All right, anyway, today's podcast is titled House Jacked, How Predators Legally Steal Your Home. Once again, the title of today's podcast is House Jacked, How Predators Legally Steal Your Home, 619-768-2945 is the live stream number here. And we'll be on for the next 25 minutes or so. Call in if you got any questions or comments. What is house jacking? Or some people might call it house hijacking. Just like with a car. You know what carjacking is? You know. Housejacking or house hijacking is a little bit more sophisticated. With carjacking, which carjacking was an unofficial crime for years until it got to a critical mass and then legislation was presented. And carjacking is a crime now. Housejacking or house hijacking is basically a house, except for maybe in the state of Michigan, is an unofficial crime. Now, with carjacking, typically, you know, somebody lays and waits for somebody that looks vulnerable, a predator, that is, looks for somebody that looks or appears to be vulnerable or is vulnerable. And as they open up the door, they overpower them, take the keys, and drive away with the car. That's carjacking. With housejacking, it happens in different ways. It could be you invite somebody into your home who doesn't have a place to stay, and then they refuse to leave. You call the police and explain the situation, and due to the fact that you invited them into your home and they did not break into your home, it's not a police matter, and they'll tell you it's a civil matter. You have to go to court, typically rent court or landlord tenant court, whatever they call it in your neck of the woods. And that person that's not leaving could be trying to shake you down for money, or they will terrorize you to the point where they want you just to sign it over to them. And that can happen many different ways. You can invite them into your home. You can invite them into your home. You can enter into a contractual relationship with them as a landlord-tenant, and things go south. There are people that scan online ads and look to scan people that way to take the housejack the property. Reverse mortgages. In my opinion, a reverse mortgage is a way to basically take over a house, housejack it. And all this stuff is done legally. Like I say, if you invite somebody to your home, that's legal. If you enter into a contract with somebody as a landlord and they're the renter or the tenant, that's legal. Okay. Except for maybe in the state of Michigan, house hijacking or housejacking is not even on the books. You have to be versed in the law well enough on how to organize things where you can come up with something that'll substitute for housejacking. Now, not like in South Africa, that's on the books. What I'm talking about here today, it's on the books. Not maybe with all things. The reverse mortgage is a legal way, because a lot of people who get these reverse mortgages have no debt on their home. They get a reverse mortgage, and let me explain something before I even go further with this. Typically, when you, by having just the deed to the property, that gives you equitable title or equitable ownership in the property. If once you get a loan against that property, called a mortgage, the mortgage holder has legal title. So a lot of these senior citizens who get a reverse mortgage, they have equitable title and they have legal title because they paid that house off. The moment you get any type of a mortgage on that house, you have surrendered your legal title. So reverse mortgages typically I would say it's probably the number one way in which certain financial institutions legally steal your home. Number one, they go after senior citizens. You're not going to be 21 years old and get a reverse mortgage. Number two, many of these people have already paid off their homes. Number three, they're classified as senior citizens. Only a senior citizen can get a reverse mortgage. Number three, I haven't done the statistics on it, but I would probably comfortably say probably about 50% of the people who get a reverse mortgage have some type of health issue. They probably couldn't even get a full life insurance policy. But they can get a reverse mortgage if they got a house, particularly if it's free and clear. Half of them probably have diabetes. Well, some type of health issue. It could be diabetes. It could be high blood pressure. They're on some type of medication. Dementia has started to set in. There's a whole lot of health, as we all know, particularly if you live on a standard American diet, the longer you live, the more than likely something's going to go left when it comes to your health. So they know this. They probably have statistics from them on how long that you're probably going to live. Then a lot of times these people will close on a loan. Now, typically, when you close on a real estate loan, it's done at a title company in an office setting. Typically, there's a staff attorney on there that if you have any questions, they can answer those questions, legal questions. But many people who get reverse mortgages, they come to the person's home and close on the loan. That person's there without any legal consultation. They're there. No relatives are typically around. Sometimes they close. They might meet. You know what? Let's meet at the McDonald's and close on that loan at a McDonald's. Once again, typically in a reverse mortgage situation, if they're closing at the person's home or they're closing at McDonald's or some type of restaurant, the person doesn't have any legal representation there. They have no lawyer there. They have no best friend there. Nobody to bounce off or read the contract that they're about to sign. And then many people, after they, even if they close in this reverse mortgage in a person's home, you know, they could put the paper and they can't remember where they put the paper. And, you know, some people might be today, they're classified as hoarders or what have you. Some people call them preppers. But they don't know where they signed where they put the papers, where they signed it. They don't have the business card of the person who came, the loan officer who came to the house or the restaurant or McDonald's or wherever. But it sure wasn't it wasn't a typical mortgage company. And so that and then when they pass on, that transfer of wealth typically doesn't transfer to the next generation, and the next generation in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, or what have you, find themselves having to start from scratch. Or almost scratch, all over again. This is particularly devastating, in my opinion, to the African-American community in the United States, because, you know, for the ones that are screaming about, you know, reparations and, you know, what you need to do is concentrate on estate planning. And have it so a person can't be taken advantage of when you get a reverse mortgage. Now, let's say there's a reverse mortgage on a house, somebody passes, most people move out or get foreclosed on, they get set out on the street. Here's some strategies what you can do to counter it. Number one, and I went through this last week, you have to change your thinking. And the reverse mortgage is a liability, but the paradigm shift I want you to make is you want to learn how to convert that liability into an asset. Okay. The reverse mortgage loan is the liability. The house, if used correctly, could be an asset that can basically generate enough money to pay off the reverse mortgage, and you get to keep the house and you get the legal title back. Now, here's some basic strategies right now in converting that house into an asset. Number one, you can rent out the rooms. Use that money to help retire the debt on a reverse mortgage. You're going to need more than that, but I'm just saying, you can rent out the rooms. Now, you can rent out the rooms. There are a variety of ways that you can do that. You can do long-term rentals, that's, 30 days at a time, or you can do short-term rentals with something like Airbnb, where you'll make more money. Okay. The next thing is you can turn it into, depending on what neck of the woods you're in, you can turn it into a corporate house, a corporate guest house, to be exact. All right. And you're going to have to develop some relationships with people who have corporate guests, but you can do that. Also, with the guest house concept, check out people that might have family reunions. That's typically Memorial Day, or well, their family reunions year-round, but Memorial Day weekend is big. You got the holidays, but check out people with, the reunion market. That's a huge market, and have that house fixed up where it's nice, where instead of going to the Holiday Inn, the Hyatt, or the Hilton or something like that, they use your house as a guest house for reunions, holidays, what have you. And sometimes, it's July right now. All right, you can start taking reservations for Memorial Day weekend in September, late August, early September. You can take reservations for the holidays, the months of November and December. You can start taking reservations now and deposits now. All that can help chip away at that. But these are strategies to go from a liability into an asset. Another thing that you can do, another strategy, is rent to people, or whatever model that you're going to go with, that speak a foreign language. If you're in a place like in New York City or Washington, D.C., San Francisco, Los Angeles, where you have large groups of ethnic groups, take out ads and the Vietnamese newspaper, the local Spanish newspapers. If there's a Russian newspaper, take out ads in different foreign languages. Expand your market. Just don't deal with English-speaking people. A lot of people that are foreigners, they pay their rent. They pay their rent. And also, don't overlook the corporate foreign-speaking market, language-speaking market as well. All right? Now, get a piece of paper out and just put on a piece of paper and then actually follow up on this. Take out ads, room for rent. Get on Airbnb and other vacation rentals. Put ads on those platforms too. All right. Put your house up for sale. Okay. And as a test drive, your intent might not be there, but you just want to see what the market is. All right. And put your house up for sale as just a regular homeowner. The fourth fundamental strategy, because you can take each one of these strategies and probably run four or five or six other strategies out of each one. The fourth basic fundamental strategy, corporate sell a house as a corporate house. We had a guest on here. I won't mention the name because she might not want to put business out like that. But she had an Airbnb breakfast. I mean, excuse me, an Airbnb piece of property. And when she sold it, not as an individual homeowner, but she sold it as an Airbnb business. And that she made a lot more money that way. So those are the four fundamental markets. Out of each one of those, you can, you know, go within those niches and then just diversify even more. That one, here's the fifth strategy. Find a group of people, traveling professionals or and or students. Check out traveling nurses. That's a huge niche out here, traveling medical professionals. All right. And see, and then, you know, and here's the next thing, sixth strategy. Out of all those, find out which platforms, advertising platforms, can generate the most traffic. And what I would suggest is talk to several people on that use different platforms and see what works for them. Craigslist worked great, used to work great for me. I used Craigslist for a number of years, and I can fill a vacancy in less than 12 hours. But I hadn't used Craigslist up until last week for about six consecutive years. So when I ran the ad the first week, I didn't get any calls, not one. I'm used to getting like 100, 150 calls. So I said, well, no, it must be something I'm not doing because I live by a philosophy. The market is always right. So it must be something I need to tweak. So I started tweaking. And then I started to use some other platforms, which were like Facebook, which is more popular. And then I started to get some calls, but that went into that like happened this past weekend. And then, but I still kept the Craigslist ads going. And I talked to other people, which I've been talking to people about last week, this weekend, and even this morning. So I'm getting ideas and I'm tweaking the whole way. So you got to see what works, because what worked yesterday as far as your marketing and advertising is concerned might not work today, because a lot of things have happened 6 years ago. At one time, Craigslist was the only game in town. Now Craigslist is no longer the only game in town. You have other platforms, advertising platforms, that you need to investigate, which is what I'm doing right now. So I'm taking my own advice. We're going to advertise the house. We got rooms for rent. We got rooms for rent to a specific niche market. New pictures taken from different angles. That's new pictures, N-E-W, not nude, by the way. Now we got an ad going. Entire house 3-2, fully furnished for sale. For rent. But what we're gonna do is niche market that into a specific group of people. We're not going to deal with the general market on that. And then house for sale. But corporate house for sale. So those are the basic four fundamental cores that we're going to run starting today. And just see, all right, well, what kind of feedback are we getting on for each one? You know, how many calls, how many texts are coming in? And then from there, decide, okay, this is our strongest possibility. Let's go with that. So instead of, because if you just have one one fishing line out there. Sometimes you catch fish, sometimes you don't. And one time I could use the Craigslist fishing line. But now, today, I'm going on with nets. So, in any event, now, we're saying all that because these are strategies that I'm using to convert this house into an asset to arrest the predator, which I call the reverse mortgage. So if you got a reverse mortgage, that's where you need to think. Think offensively, not defensively, but think offensively. What can I do to turn this house into a cash cow that will pay off this mortgage? You know, and don't discredit any idea. It's like I really like to repeat. The guys who started Airbnb in 2019, right now, two of them are 35, one's 37. They're billionaires, private, not even a public company. How did they do it? They started off, one out of the three left the apartment because he was tired of struggling. The other two were left, so they had three bedrooms, two people, and they were both behind on rent. I mean, they were behind on rent, facing eviction in San Francisco, and San Francisco is a very expensive housing market. Then they got the idea, you know what? Let's get some air mattresses, put it in these rooms. Let's put up a website and then advertise or market ourselves at this particular convention that's coming into town. They got three takers. They made $200, and they kept on making $200 a week with that strategy. Then eventually it went up to $400, and then they got up to, you know what, they start to think bigger. Now they probably have about 1 million rooms available for rent, and they do rent for any particular day of the week. Necessity is the mother of invention. So we're going to go through other strategies on the different predators that you need to become aware of so that your house will not be house jacked. But I consider reverse mortgages a predator, and if you don't know how to deal with them, you shall be house jacked. Okay, 619-768-2945. We got a couple of minutes here. We'll be on tomorrow for the 4th of July, just another day. Let's go to our phone lines here. 314, your mic is open.
You know, you're talking about people that's doing the reverse mortgage and then meeting up with closers at non-formal places.
Right.
Well, then I heard people in the argument on reparations, they use that is an example of how blacks are suffering. But that's a voluntary action that they're doing. Nobody's making them do that.
Yeah, absolutely right. Now, I look at it as these people don't know anything about estate planning. I don't think you can even factor that in reparations, but reparations, they try to throw everything into the pot.
Well, yeah. I mean, they was using that as a
excuse
point.
You said it was.
Okay. Yeah. Then you also had those who was getting involved in them subprime loans. And nobody made them do it neither because that information is out there.
True.
And if you, like you made mention, that if you get involved in something like that where you don't understand the legalese, well, there are services out there that will act on your behalf. The Urban League will, for one.
Well, yeah.
If you're going to have
a legal aid service somewhere, that's true. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. So rather than have the informal meeting at the at McDonald's restaurant, have it at Urban League and have it set up where some attorney in the lower immediate house department with the Urban League can go over your paperwork for you and make sure that you're not being, you know, you're not being, you know, had.
Right. Yeah, that's an excellent idea. And you know what? It can all, you can be, these local churches can set up outreach doing the same thing. Typically, there's somebody, a lawyer, somebody knows a lawyer in the church. And, you know, that could be a educational ministry or outreach. And like you say, that way, excellent idea, Pianti.
And another thing, too, one of the requirements before anyone can get a mortgage loan today is that you have to take that little class.
That's today.
I can't think what they call that. You can either do that and sit down at a convene setting, a classroom setting, or you can do it online. And
after a whole lot of people got lost their homes. And you know what? While they were still living.
Mm-hmm. But here's the thing, you know, like I said before, there's free services out there to address people's concerns for those who don't understand what it is that they're dealing with. There's no excuse. And now to come back and say that, well, these people need to be compensated, or we as a group, well, that's a bunch of bull. That's a bunch of malarkey. So I just
I don't put that on the reparations at all. People have to be informed, and the solutions that you came up with, excellent.
Oh, you know, another point too. I see where they're talking about affordable housing. I was listening to a discussion, and I think I sent you some videos on these too. There's another one. Herman Cain is excellent. I don't know if you ever heard him speak before. But this one girl who was a proponent for socialism was talking about affordable housing, how houses are not affordable in San Francisco and places like that. Well, they need to listen to your program because you talk about houses that can be built for little or nothing. And you don't even have to pay those types of exuberant fees. If it's a major concern, then put together a movement and go against San Francisco's city council to set aside locations where these type of structures, affordable, can be erected and put up where people can live in them.
Right. You're right. Well, there's a lot of information, and we have to get it out there. The internet is just one way. Thank you for your team.
All right, I'll see you later.
See you. Have a great week. Well, not weekend, but have a nice, safe holiday tomorrow, which I guess it starts today because I'm figuring some people have already taken the day off, and they're not coming back to work until next Monday. So have a safe holiday. We're going to be on tomorrow and get more into this or whatever trending topic. On that note, everyone have a good rest of the day. I'm going back because I got to take more pictures, update websites, put a house up for sale, make it into a corporate house. We'll fill you up on it. And on that note, have a good day.